Okay, hello, I'm here with the Greensville County Registrar, Susan Conwell, Electoral Board Mr. Jones, and Electoral Board Jesse Harrell. I'm gonna try and put this up here so we can hear everybody. Today is August the 26th, it's 3:00 in the afternoon, and thank you for having us. Okay, so we're gonna start off, we have a few general questions. Question number one. What is your biggest concern about the upcoming election?
And I'm just gonna provide you the answers that I went through and jotted down yesterday.
That's fine.
The people's faith in the election process and the 2020 misunderstandings of advertising campaigns.
Okay. Question number two. I wanna make sure that this can reach you. Question number two, do you have any other major concerns?
None. The county supports this office.
Okay. Question number three, do you feel like you have the resources, equipment, personnel, and training needed to run an effective election in November?
Yes.
That's great. Great. Okay, we don't need to ask question number four. Question number five, the county election board is supposed to consist of two Democrats and a Republican under a Democrat governor, which we got right now. But in some areas, boards have had trouble finding willing Republicans and have appointed an independent instead or another Democrat. What is the situation in this county?
Two Democrats, one Republican.
What about your precinct staff? Are you able to have equal numbers of Democrats and Republicans?
Yes.
You are?
Pretty much.
I'm going to want you to fast forward.
Yep, I'm good.
Question number seven. Is the County Board of Elections engaged in your work year-round or mostly near elections?
Year-round.
That's great. Good news. Thank you for that. Now a few more questions on the voter roll. Question number eight. When was the last time the voter file in your county was scrubbed or cleaned?
4 years ago when I came into the office, I printed the state's record of all alphabetical registrations,
okay.
And we matched them with everything we have in the office. So 4 years ago.
Approximately 4 years ago. Okay. Question number nine. Does the health department or coroner or Bureau of Vital Statistics send a list of deceased people to your office every month so they can be removed from the voter roll?
They do send, the Bureau of Vital Statistics is provided by the State Board of Elections. And it is forwarded to us.
Is that a monthly or what's the frequency on that?
It's monthly.
Monthly?
I know Susan spoke utilizing that quite often when
okay.
They send it. So she keeps up to date on pretty much on.
Okay.
You know, keeping up with the ones who are no longer here and need to be taken off of the poll book.
Right.
So that's the main tool you use for removing people from the voter roll?
Yes.
Okay.
You don't use obituaries or anything like that?
No.
Occasionally.
If a family member comes to us and says, you need to remove my father and my mother, then yes, that would be an obituary usage. But for the most part, we use the Bureau of Vital Statistics.
Yeah.
That's
sometimes we'll have a poll worker, maybe a family member or something like that, and they will jot down a note, you know, it's
right.
Kind of the same thing, but they'll, this is during an election, just in course of looking at the poll books, they'll say, you know, John Doe, he passed away last September or whatever, you know, and
right.
They'll make a note, so and that gets verified too, and then it's several ways to try to keep it.
That's a close-knit community.
That's
in small locality.
Yeah, that's one of the benefits of being a small county versus
exactly.
Fredericksburg or somewhere like New Kent or somewhere like that.
Yeah. Question number 10. When was the last time the clerk of court submitted a list of individuals who declined to serve on jury duty on the basis of being a non-citizen?
The clerk of the courts provides us with adjudicated incapacitated statements monthly.
And incapacitated?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm just curious.
I don't have an answer for you.
And because jury duty and electoral board,
I can get back with you on that, Jess, if you want.
It's not a major thing, I just thought maybe, it's kind of two different departments.
Does it tie in with election and all that?
Yes, sir.
Does it?
Question number 11. When was the last time you had access to the national change of address list or any other change of address list?
July 12th, 2021.
So I've heard numerous reports. Is that like all the registrars in the state got that at one time? Okay.
Plus we do fill out change of address forms on election day and they're sent to her via the state results stuff. We have an envelope specially for that stuff
right.
that comes to her. So
that's in accordance with the statute. Right?
Yeah, if somebody moves, like say, and they can't find where they need to vote or whatever, then we call, but then they're instructed to change, you know, do a change of address and put it right in envelope 8 and it comes to her.
Okay.
So first hand kind of.
Question number 12. Are you confident that the voter file is accurate and up to date?
Yes.
Okay. Question number 13. How many households in your locality have more than 7 individuals registered at the same address?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
No, we don't have any access to that.
Yeah, that's a general answer among registrars that I've heard is that's kind of a hard query in your database to find.
No
so.
Query with that.
Okay. All right. Question number 14. During registration, how do you verify that voters are citizens?
The application has a box and it's checked that they are a citizen.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving on. Concerns were raised across the country about the accuracy and integrity of voting machines in the 2020 elections. Question number 15. There are 3 types of voting machines used in Virginia. Can you tell me which machines you use?
Dominion ICE since 2017.
Is that capital ICE?
Mm-hmm.
Is it, okay, I didn't know that.
ImageCast.
It's an acronym?
Yes.
Okay. And that's since 2017?
Yes.
That's the only one?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Moving on, question number 16. Who calibrates those voting machines and can you please explain the process?
It's done by a third party. Atlantic Elections does it. The chairman of the political parties are invited to attend and one of the electoral board members does also.
And to answer your question is how it is basically done. When they do, they've come in to set them up prior to voting, and they will have ballots marked different ways, test ballots. Some they'll mark twice, some they'll mark no marks on them at all, some they'll mark for this candidate, some they'll mark solely for this candidate, and they run each and every one of those through. Of course, they know what the tally should be. Then they check the statement of results to make sure everything counted that was supposed to be counted. Nothing counted that didn't supposed to be counted, and that the machine will say if you have like 2 people voting, and, you know, somebody votes for governor, votes 2 people, then it will kick it back out, and they go through. It takes them a good little sequence to do it, but yeah, they're pretty thorough.
Okay, that's good to hear. Question number 17. You've already said that. Do you invite party representatives to witness the calibration? That was yes.
A big yes, right?
Yes, thank you. Question number 18. Are voting machines ever connected to the internet?
Never.
Not these.
Okay, moving on. Many changes in election procedures were introduced in response to the COVID pandemic, and some people have argued that these changes weakened the integrity of the election process. Question 19. As an election professional, do you think that the changes made in the election process in Virginia in response to COVID have weakened election integrity, strengthened election integrity, or made no change in election integrity?
Yeah.
Weaken it?
Agreed.
Unanimous?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Sound like y'all are a hands-on community and you want everybody to vote the same day as well. I like that. Okay. Question 20. Did you receive any funding or in-kind contributions for training, staff, voter education or equipment, or any other purpose from outside the state of Virginia?
Not from the, well, CARES Act.
CARES Act, okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's Fed, right? Nothing else? No?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Question number 21. Effective July 1st, 2021, Senate Bill 1097 eliminated requirements for voters to have a witness signature on absentee ballots for any election during a declared state of emergency. The governor has now rescinded that state of emergency. How are you training your staff to ensure that there is a signature match for the upcoming elections?
We do the signature match. We have 2 full-time staff and 2 part-time staff.
We always do the signature match.
Yep.
Okay.
And that was one of the things we were concerned on one of your prior questions about weakening the integrity.
Yes.
Because during COVID, people were allowed to send in unwitnessed.
Yeah.
And, yeah, who knows?
So now, the way that I understand it, we're going off a little bit on this, since we're not in a state of emergency, it should be signed, and you should have a witness
correct.
And sign it and all that. Okay.
It's not November yet.
That's a great point. I was just thinking that myself.
Yeah.
What, really, it's November starts September 17th, right?
Yes.
That's right.
Right. Question number 22. There is a lot of concern in Virginia and across the country about the security and integrity of the ballot drop boxes. What are the chain of custody procedures for the ballot drop boxes here in Greensville?
For starters, we don't have any outside drop boxes. They're all inside. So we don't need
in this building here?
Well, mine is in my office, and the others are on the day of election and the polling places.
Okay.
So there's not any on the outside, out of doors, no videos required.
So the ones on the day of election at the polling places, how are they brought back to your office?
At the end of the
They make visits to the polling places, and
okay.
then if there's any dropped before they arrive, then they change hands, but there's paperwork that everyone signs off on, then it's brought back to the cap.
So you keep a chain of custody on it
yep.
at all
yeah,
times.
Definitely. The chief of the polling place has to sign out. We sign in that we accepted them, and then when we do the same thing when we get here in return.
They sign
the
out, and then the cap accepts it as signing in.
And that's an electoral board member.
But that being said, I don't think we had any at the polling places.
Not for the primary.
Yeah.
Okay. Question number 23. Was there any time during the last election cycle when your drop boxes did not have video monitoring? So it's in your office. That's a, okay. Question number 24. Who is responsible for reviewing the video?
Not applicable.
Another one, not applicable. Okay. All right, moving on to the next section. To strengthen public confidence in the integrity of elections, we hope to expand our observation efforts and have a few questions about election pages, nonpartisan observers, and party observers. Would you provide training and support or designate us to provide training and support for an Election Day page program as described in State Code 24.2, Text
604.3? 604.3 says Election Day pages can be trained by anyone, electoral board members, registrar, or the chief of the polling place. Ours are trained by the chief at the precinct.
Trained by the chief at the precinct. So you do have a page program then, huh?
We have utilized it twice.
Success? You had.
We did have success.
Is this something y'all encourage to keep
we
going?
Did. Mm-hmm.
It's great to hear. Question number 26. Would you authorize nonpartisan election observers with the same rights as party representatives as described in State Code 24.2, Tech 604.5A?
I don't see, I'd have to go back and read the code section, but my understanding is they have to be a party representative. I mean, we couldn't have any non-partisan.
Did you give them a copy of the code on the end of the form?
No. For code?
I would have to be 100%, I mean, I'm, if I'm understanding what you're saying, nonpartisan would be somebody who's not affiliated with a party, Democrat, Republican, or independent. Then I would have to say no, but.
Okay.
I would say no also.
Okay. Fair enough. Question number 27. Would you authorize international nonpartisan observers from recognized election monitoring organizations?
Monitoring organizations? There again, I'd have to review the code, but I would, at this point, I would say no.
Okay. Same. Okay.
It's thought that we would, to show them how smoothly the process runs, because they're international nonpartisans, they would want to see how the election goes.
As I said, I would have to review the code before I could say anything other than right now, no.
Understood, and I think that's the intent of this question, is whether or not we want to bring somebody in that's foreign to our election process and see how we run our elections and take it back to their country as a lesson learned. All right. Moving on to question number 28. Have your local party chairs been notified that they are entitled to send observers to your office each day that is open and receiving in-person absentee ballots?
I haven't told them, but, I mean, they may have been notified.
So, no. So, how about this no, but you're not sure, or?
No, by the register. Registrar. Mm-hmm.
Question number 29. It's got two parts. Do you have a publication that you provide to your election officials regarding rights and responsibilities of observers?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know who provides that?
State Board of Elections. Do's and don'ts.
State Board of Elections. And that is the last question, because the next sub-one says no. We did great on that one. So, thank you. The survey is complete now. We deeply appreciate your time today and look forward to keeping in touch as we go through the 2021 state elections.
Okay.
And
thank y'all.
While you're right there, as far as question 28, about the local party chairs being notified.
Yes.
This is actually the first year we've had in-person early voting, you know. So, it's kind of a new thing, but no, we haven't told. I would assume they would have known. They would, just like any other time, could send observers, but
yeah,
we didn't send out a formal notice.
Okay.
There again, this was the first time we've done it.
Right.
First
like
year we've had first
too,
year we've
right.
had a cap machine, you know, and all of that. So maybe that's something we need to start doing. Tell them that they can. We haven't refused anybody because nobody's come, but we haven't actually sent a letter to either one of them and told them that they could. Not something we really thought about, to be honest with you.
Okay. Well, look, I don't want to cut the recording off right now, but I want to ask you another question. All right, I want you guys to get in.